You know, some things are just not worth fooling with. There are some things that we just pass on because they're not worth interrupting what we're doing in order to stop and take care of them. Your life and my life are so busy in a typical day that often there are a lot of things that come along that we're just really too busy to fool with. I've always wondered if maybe that was the thought process that went through the minds of the two fellows in Luke chapter 10. In that story that Jesus told about a man who fell among the thieves on the Jericho road, the priest and the Levite who came along and found that traveler there, beaten, robbed, and left for dead, suffering, bleeding, no doubt in need of a lot of help. And I've always wondered if maybe their rationale wasn't that they were so busy that they really didn't have time to stop and help him. Because after all, some things aren't worth fooling with. I wonder if they saw him in that way. Tonight is our second lesson in a series of lessons on the subject, generally, of daily pursuits. We want to talk about some things that are worth our daily concentration and effort. Things that are worthwhile of spending some time on and working on regularly in order that we might improve ourselves as God's children. Now, last Sunday night, we talked about, you know, I was thinking about asking if you would raise your hand. Don't do it. But I was thinking about asking if you would raise your hand, if you could readily remember the subject we talked about last Sunday night in the first lesson in this series. But I decided I really wouldn't need to embarrass you or make myself feel ineffective. And so I'm not going to ask that question. And so I'll go ahead and tell you that last Sunday night we talked about the pursuit of Christian character, godly character. We talked about how important it is, based on the text of 1 Timothy chapter 12 and a few verses after that, to develop those traits, those qualities that make for more godly living in our lives, whether we're young or old, no matter who we are. There are things that we can do that will help us to develop godliness. Tonight, I want us to take the subject of kindness and compassion. Kindness and compassion. And I want to suggest to you from the outset that those things, and really they're, you could say they're one thing because they're so similar, those items are worth our daily pursuit. They are worth pursuing to be more kind, to be more compassionate, because, after all, we are God's children. Now, in just a minute, we're going to turn to Matthew chapter 5 and look at a few characters that are there in that chapter and see what they kind of suggest to us or represent to us. But before we do that, I think it's worthy of our time to turn over to Colossians chapter 3, and let's read verses 12 through 14. Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 through 14, because I believe this passage kind of sets the stage for what we need to be thinking about. Again, Colossians chapter 3, beginning in verse 12. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving one another. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. Now, let's turn over to Matthew chapter 9, because in Matthew chapter 9, beginning in verse 18, I want us to read through this text, and as we go along, I'm going to stop and remind you of some things that we'll encounter here along this way. This is a little small section out of the daily life and conduct of Jesus Christ. And as we take Him through this little very short period of time that's recorded in the latter half of Matthew chapter 9, we see that Jesus comes into contact with several people. And I'm going to let those people remind us of some very important things about kindness and compassion. We begin with verse 18, which says, "While he was saying these things to them, behold, a ruler came in and knelt before him, saying, 'My daughter has just died, but come and lay your hand on her and she will live.' And Jesus rose and followed him with his disciples." First of all, we've got the ruler. The ruler reminds us, or the ruler's story, which is an awful story, a man whose daughter has just died, and he comes and finds Jesus. Jesus is in the middle of a conversation with someone, and the man comes up to him and interrupts his conversation, and he says, "Lord, my daughter has just died, but if you'll come and lay your hand on her, I know she will come back to life." Now, in the general scheme of the way things typically work, that sounds like a pretty strange request, doesn't it? But let's be reminded of the faith of this man. His faith was such that he knew that if Jesus would come, Jesus could raise his daughter from the dead. But here's the point that I want us to see from this text. Some of the finest acts of kindness and compassion arise out of interruptions. Jesus was busy. He was talking. He was in the middle of a conversation. And this man comes up and just thrusts himself in the middle of all of that. And he says, "Lord, you got to come with me right now. You got to come. My daughter's dead and I want you to raise her back to life." Not only that, but the fact is that Jesus then got up and followed him along with his disciples. How many times have we been interrupted by someone in need and our response may have been, "You know, I'm kind of busy right now. If you'll get back with me later, I'll see what I can do." Listen, I'm not saying that every time every person asks us for something, then it's always worth dropping everything and rushing to their aid, but more times than not, it may be. You see, real Christian compassion and kindness is best seen not when we're sitting around waiting for someone to come to us and ask for it, not when we've put something aside and we said, "Well, you know, here's what I'm going to use the next time someone comes along and needs something," or, "I'm going to schedule a couple of hours next Tuesday because there may be someone who needs my help." That's okay, but that's not where the greatest acts of compassion are performed. The greatest acts of kindness and compassion are performed when we're interrupted. You see, that's what makes Christian compassion what it is. It's the willingness to be interrupted, the willingness to put everything else on hold and to turn and focus on someone who legitimately needs our help. Spur of the moment. In an instant, those unplanned for, spontaneous things that arise. I'm going to say that we need to be more watchful for those kind of opportunities, for those kind of occasions, when we can help someone in an unplanned way, because most urgent situations aren't very well planned for, are they? Some of the most effective acts of kindness and compassion arise out of interruptions. Let's keep reading. And behold, verse 20, a woman who had suffered a discharge of blood for 12 years came up behind him and touched the fringe of his garment. For she said to herself, if I only touch his garment, I will be made well. Jesus turned, seeing her, he said, take heart, daughter, your faith has made you well. And instantly, the woman was made well. Point number two. The kindness and compassion of Jesus was always available, even when he was already busy helping someone else. Jesus didn't say, now listen, lady, you're going to have to wait. I've got to go raise this man's daughter. That's where we're headed right now. Don't you see this crowd of people with me? We're on a mission. Don't get in the way here. Maybe that takes us back to what we said a few minutes ago about the priest and the Levite. I don't know where they were I know where they were going. They were going down the road between Jerusalem and Jericho. But maybe they were headed in for their shift. Maybe they were getting off for the day and going to be about some other business. Maybe there was someone that had sent word to both of them who had some desperate need. The fact is, they passed that man by who needed their help. They didn't do like Jesus did. Jesus is on the way to raise this man's daughter, and Jesus has time to heal this woman. It wasn't a case of, listen, I'm too busy right now, I'll get back with you later. No, it wasn't that. The kindness and the compassion of Jesus, which is what we need, was always available, even when he was busy. Verse 23. And when Jesus came to the ruler's house and saw the flute players and the crowd making a commotion, he said to them, go away, for the girl is not dead, she's only sleeping. And they laughed at him. But when the crowd had been put outside, he went in and took her by the hand, and the girl arose. And the report of this went through all that district. Here's what we need to remember. I'm not doing a good job of keeping up. We don't need to remember that. We need to remember the fact that kindness and Christian compassion isn't afraid to tackle a lost cause. Lord, you're too late. This girl's dead. You're wasting your time. Jesus knew there was something he could do in spite of the dire circumstances. In spite of how bad it looked, in spite of the fact that there was nothing left that could be humanly done, Jesus knew there was something that he could do. We don't need to be so quick to write off the lost causes in our own respective way, within the scope of our own respective abilities. We don't need to be so quick to say, I ain't got anything I can do for you. That's an easy answer, isn't it? In fact, sometimes I'm afraid it's a little too close to the tip of our tongues. I'm sorry, there's nothing I can do. Listen, I know as well as you do that there are a lot of people out there in the world who are out to take anything they can from anybody who has it. And I'm not saying we should put ourselves purposefully in the position of letting folks use us as a doormat, letting people take advantage of us in the name of Christianity. That's not what I'm talking about. But sometimes, and sometimes even because of living on the rebound, so to speak, because maybe we have been burned a few times and maybe we've been taken advantage of and we said, I'm not going to let that happen again. Sometimes it may have made us a little bit too cold and a little bit too hard, and we forget that Christian compassion is not afraid to be taken advantage of. Let's be more watchful for those opportunities, and let's be more tender. Take a little bit more time. Give it a second look. Maybe there is something I can do after all. Now, verse 27. As Jesus passed on from there, two blind men followed him, crying aloud, "Have mercy on us, Son of David." When he entered the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus said to them, "Do you believe that I'm able to do this?" And they said to him, "Yes, Lord." He touched their eyes, saying, "According to your faith, be it done to you." And their eyes were opened. Jesus sternly warned them, "See that no one knows about it," but they went away and spread his fame throughout all the district. You know, it's almost humorous because this is a situation that's repeated several times in the story of Jesus' ministry in the New Testament. The fullness of time had not yet come. The time was not right for Jesus to be advertised from one end of the country to the other as the Messiah. There was still some work that he needed to do before the masses were told, "This is the Lord." And so, on more than one occasion, Jesus said, "Don't tell anybody about this." But you know, the fact is, a deed of kindness and compassion is usually recognized as a good thing. And most folks can't help but think highly of those who do the good things. Kindness and compassion leave good impressions. Now, we're not in it for the glory. And it's not our purpose to try to see how much we can do for people so that they will say good things about us. But you know, the reality is, it's nice to be appreciated. But one of the key factors in being appreciated is doing something to be appreciated for. What kind of reputation do you have personally? What kind of reputation do I have in the department of compassion, in the department of kindness? Do people know me as a kind person? Do they know me as the person who will be compassionate to their needs? Or am I the kind of person that they'll say, "Don't bother him, he won't help you, I know"? That's not what our reputation ought to be as Christians. And that's certainly not what the two blind men said about Jesus, is it? And now verse 32. And as they were going away, behold, a demon-oppressed man who was mute was brought to him. And when the demon had been cast out, the mute man spoke. And the crowd marveled, saying, "Never was anything like this seen in Israel." But the Pharisees said, "He casts out demons by the prince of demons." Compassion sets Christians apart from the world, doesn't it? What did they say after Jesus had done this? "Well, we've never seen anything like this." The fact is, our world in which we live is not accustomed to kindness and compassion. And it's a rare exception when you find someone who isn't particularly close in their relationship with God who shows kindness to others or is known for their compassion. As a general rule, the world is pretty cold, pretty hard. And our kindness and our compassion will set us apart in the eyes of others from the world. And in fact, it'll open doors of opportunity for us that would not otherwise have been opened. Good deeds, kind hearts, a compassionate spirit will go a long way toward letting or toward encouraging people to let us come back and talk to them again about our Master. Kindness and compassion, it's certainly something that we ought to spend some time every day working on. There are many pursuits that ought to be a part of our daily lives. Let's make compassion one of those things. We're going to sing that song that's been announced, and if you're subject to our Lord's invitation, we invite you to respond as we stand and sing.